Hi, and welcome to Late Night with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally, dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and I'll be with you until midnight. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation yourselves. And depending on where you're at in the country tonight, you're either just wearing a little jacket because you're kind of fashionably cool, I guess, or you're shivering to death. It's cold up here outside the studio. Actually, I have to admit, it is a lot warmer here at the studios where we're broadcasting from here in northeastern Ohio. When I left my house, it was minus 11 on the thermometer. And when we got out of the car up here at the studio, we had warmed up to a whole minus 3. Now, that's a heat wave when you're coming from minus 11. Of course, if you're down in Florida and you're enjoying some nice cool weather, probably in the 60s or something, I guess, you're probably saying, well, that's why I don't live in northeastern Ohio. Well, I'm about ready to join you down there after this weekend. It has been a cold weekend, cold last night, cold tonight, and it's going to be cold tomorrow night, I guess. But, I am confident that global warming is going to set in here in at least another 4 or 5 months. I'm sure of it. It's kind of humorous. They had a conference planned at Yale this past weekend. Fossil Free Yale, an activist group on campus, was going to have a thing protesting in regards to global warming, and they canceled it because the weather was too cold. Well, I guess somebody has a sense of humor. Anyway, let's go ahead and open our program tonight with a word of prayer, and we'll get right into things here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. We just pray, Lord, that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to be a blessing and encouragement to somebody tonight. And Lord, we just pray that through the things we talk about, that you'd use us to point people to Christ. And we just thank you for it. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our toll-free telephone line is up and running. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air with us here this evening. We'd love to hear from you tonight. A number of things going on in the world today we can talk about, or perhaps if you had something going on at church today that maybe you had a question about something and you want to ask about that, maybe we can touch on that a little bit here this evening and take it from there. And then, of course, I can always come up with something to talk to you too, but it's always better when we can get our callers calling in. And so that's phone number again, 888-677-9673. That's our phone number tonight, 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening. And actually, I guess we got a couple callers calling in, so we'll get you here directly in just a moment where we can get caught up here. But in the meanwhile, let me remind you that you can always find out more about our program by going to our website, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And at that website, livewithpastoral.com, we have past programs that you can listen to. If you're listening to us on Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN down in Florida tonight, we have a Friday afternoon half-hour program every Friday afternoon here in Northeast Ohio on AM 1220, The Word, where we do much the same thing we do here on Sunday night, just a shorter format, sometimes have some different guests and things. But those programs are also available as an MP3 file at our website, livewithpastoral.com, and we can get to you there. Let's see. We have, looks like, who do we got calling? calling in first here tonight. Looks like Jeremiah calling in first. So we'll jump right to Jeremiah here this evening. Jeremiah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, I had a hard time trying to get on the air at first.
Well,
what happened to the old guy that the other guy that usually answers the phone?
Well, we get a variety of people, and I try to give them all a good workout, but we've had a lot of good people here, and we've really been blessed in a number of people helping us out because, you know, most people don't realize what goes into doing a program like this, you know, because we do it live. I don't just sit down in front of the mic and start talking. Derek tonight, and we've had Joe and Antoine, other ones in the past, different ones that try to keep us straight. They're the ones that answer the phones when you when you call in to the program. The board operator actually answers the phone, and then they get your name up on a computer monitor. And when I see the name on the monitor, then I can go to the phone call. And so it just takes a few minutes sometimes. And usually at the start of the program, you know, there's a lot of things going on, getting all the buttons pushed and everything doing just right. But we got you through tonight, though, Jeremiah. So welcome to the program.
It's like I was trying to be in hassled and I'm trying to get on the air.
Well, I don't know about that, but you're on now, and I'm glad you're with us.
I have my King James Bible open here in my lap.
Yes, sir.
Isaiah chapter 41.
All right, let me get turned over there as well, and then we'll be on the same page. I say that kind of facetiously because I did have somebody one time called and said, in the Bible on page such and such, and then I said, well, I really need the chapter and verse and the book because you have different page numbers in each one. But we're in Isaiah chapter, what did you say, 41?
Chapter 40, verse 31.
Oh, 40, verse 31. Okay. Actually, I'm on the right page for that. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." That's a tremendous verse. That really is.
A pastor one time gave me that verse. Mm-hmm. He outlined it, but I couldn't understand what he meant by that.
The idea here, if you look at it, it starts there, but they that wait upon the Lord, okay, that's the first and a key part to that verse is we oftentimes we get ahead of the Lord. You know, we go beyond what the Lord is asking, and sometimes we do what the Lord doesn't want us to do. We get impatient, and the first example that leaps to my mind in terms of people jumping the gun, so to speak, remember Abraham and Sarah? They were told that they were going to have a child, and Sarah was barren, and they didn't wait upon the Lord. Instead, they took matters into their own hands, and Sarah took her handmaiden, Hagar, and said, listen, Abraham, if you go into her and have a child by her, we'll count it as my child. And by the way, in the culture in which Abraham and Hagar lived, that was perfectly acceptable. But they did not wait upon the Lord, and it caused a lot of problems with that as a result of Ishmael, the child that was born. And we see that today. You just look at the headlines today, the Islamic State, Al-Qaeda, and different places, different Islamic groups that they follow a religion that was started by a descendant of Ishmael, and they're dedicated to destroying the Jewish people. And so all those problems because they didn't wait upon the Lord. But he says, if we wait upon the Lord, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And we renew their strength because we're waiting upon the Lord. We're allowing the Lord to sustain us, and we're allowing the Lord to give us what we need to carry us through. And not only will we regain our strength, he says, or renew their strength, they wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. He says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. If you think about this, in Isaiah's day, man did not fly. You closest you come to flying is if you jumped up in the air, and that would be about it. You didn't fly. But to watch an eagle soar in the sky had to have been a marvel because man simply could not do that. So the idea of mounting up with wings as eagles, you know, you can see where the idea that you could soar to heights that never could have been dreamt possible before. And then he says, you'll run and not be weary. And, you know, at that time, what's that?
It's not like you're going to jump off a building and try to fly.
Oh, no, no. It's metaphorical in the sense that, you know, it's like you probably remember this, the old desk sign that there used to be, it's hard to soar with the eagles when you're stuck with the turkeys, you know, that type of a thing. Yeah, you think of eagles as soaring high in the sky, and then of course running and not being weary. You know, people run, but they get tired, and then of course it says they shall walk and not faint. And people say, "Why do you get tired walking?" Well, try walking 20 miles in one afternoon. I mean, especially if you're walking up and down in the mountains. I've done it, and especially if you're trying to keep a good pace, you can get tired. And especially if it's a hot climate, you can faint. And the idea here is when we wait upon the Lord, God's going to sustain us, and he's going to lift us up and enable us to do more than we could have done in our own strength. And we're going to be able to keep on keeping on doing the work that he's called us to do. I hope that helps you out, Jeremiah. I got a number of callers calling in. Phones are lighting up tonight.
Week.
Pardon?
Talk to you next week.
Okay, well, thank you for that call, Jeremiah. I appreciate that. Next up, we've got Kim in calling in. And, Kim, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Hello, Kim.
I just think, what was that scripture that Jeremiah had?
We were looking in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord, yeah. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
You know what? That's such a blessing, because I was just talking to somebody about, I had spent some quiet time with God a while I was praying in the Spirit, and he gave me that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not that same scripture, but it was about the eagles mounting up like eagles.
Right.
That I, you know, and that is so awesome.
Well, and, you know,
like
and
a blessing.
Let me share something with you. And is thinking about when we were talking with Jeremiah, I didn't think of this. I was talking about the eagle soaring in the air. You know,
yeah,
how the eagle soars the highest in the air? It's not that he's flapping his wings.
Right.
And you'll see this. They'll get to what's called a thermal. It's an area where the ground is warming the air, and there's an updraft. And they'll get in that thermal, and they'll spread their wings, and that updraft will lift them up higher than they would have probably flown on their own. And that's a great picture for what God does for his children. When we wait upon him, he lifts us up. We don't have
that's
to struggle
awesome.
To get up on our own strength.
Maybe that's what he meant when he was trying to tell me that I would not, you know, that he was going to lift me up.
Right.
You know, and help me with everything that I needed, you know, help with. I think that's what he was trying to tell me.
Oh, yeah. That's a wonderful verse. I have that underlined in my Bible as well.
Yeah. I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just a little confused. I'm sure you can help me out here. In Revelation 2, to the church of Sardis.
All right. Let me get turned over there.
Okay.
Revelation, last book of the Bible. And chapter
2. Yeah, it's confusing. Yeah.
And the church at Sardis, you said?
Yeah. I have here, I was reading it, and I quite didn't understand. It says, like, I know the things you do, and that you have a reputation for being alive, but you are dead. And then it says, wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead.
Yeah,
and
let me interject just a second. We're actually in chapter 3. So
are we?
Yes.
Okay,
it's chapter 3, starting in verse 1. And,
3:3.
All right, 3:3.
Back to what you heard and believed at first.
Okay.
And hold to it firmly. And
yeah. Let me go ahead and read it here, the whole verse here. Remember, therefore, and whenever you see therefore, I always tell our church, look and see what it's there for. That is a reference to the verses that came before us. Reminds us to put things in context. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt now watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour when or what hour I will come upon thee.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And your question was about this verse?
Yeah, that one, it was like, mine's just to go back to the way you believed it first and hold to it firmly in the Living Translation. And then it says down in 5:3-5.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. In 5 it says, he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. There.
But once your name is in the book of life, God wouldn't blot it out, would it?
You bring up a good question, and, you know, we see things that sometimes seem to imply that God puts your name in the book of life, and sometimes it seems to imply that your name is in the book of life until it's blotted out. And let me give you a little reason for both of those views real quick, if I could.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've probably heard people talk about the age of accountability, and the example is back when David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. There was a child that was conceived. The child was born. God said through the prophet, I believe it was Nathan, that the child was going to die. And David, you know, he mourned and he begged God to allow the child to survive. And he, you know, when the child died, the servants were afraid to tell David. They were afraid what he might do. Mm-hmm. He found out the child was dead. When David found out the child was dead, he cleaned himself up and went to get something to eat. They asked him why he wasn't mourning now the child was dead. He basically said, "Where the child is, I will be." Meaning that he would be reunited with the child. He said, while the child was alive, I was hoping God might spare him. And partly from that and other passages, we get the idea from the scripture that a baby who cannot respond to the gospel message, if that child dies, God makes provision for that baby so that that we'll see them in heaven. Now, there reaches a point in that baby's life where it's going to be accountable, and because it can now hear and understand the gospel, and it can make a choice to accept or reject the gospel message. And so the thought might be that that the baby, before it reaches that age of accountability, is in the book of life, and then, of course, it's removed. But then when you trust Christ as your Savior, you're added to the book of life. Certainly, this is one thing we do know. If you're in the book of life, you will go into heaven. If you're in the book of life, when you die, you will be in heaven. And that's a sure thing there. And like you were saying with the church at Sardis, this church had become a dead church. And prophetically, I believe it pictured the time in the Dark Ages just prior to the Reformation, I guess you could say, maybe the time of the Reformation, rather, when you had people coming out of Catholicism, they were dead in their sin because in Catholicism it had rejected the grace of the gospel and turned it instead into a works salvation, and then of course during the time of the Reformation, people began turning back to the scriptures. There was a movement back to the scriptures. I've actually talked about that before, where the Reformation was a return to the scriptures. You know, you hear every once in a while people saying, Christianity had a Reformation, Islam needs a Reformation. And I'd say that Islam's in the midst of a Reformation because they're going back to the Quran and they're doing what the Quran says. When you see these things, people they're killing and the wars and the fighting. But as far as Christianity, when they left the Bible, they began beheading people, burning people at the stake. They began trying to force their beliefs on others. None of that was scriptural. That was all done contrary to the scriptures. And of course, they were enforcing a false belief upon people. But during the Reformation, they began coming back to the Bible. They began remembering what was first received and heard, back in the first century. They began returning to the idea, as Paul wrote to the Ephesians, where he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of works, lest any man should boast." And so they began returning. Now, thankfully, there were people all along that were in you know, that were still maintaining the truth. You know, the early Baptists had maintained the truth during that time. But
okay.
When you think about churches and you look in Revelation here,
yeah.
A church, okay, let's take this as a church instead of a person, a church
right.
That turns from the gospel, a church that abandons the message of the gospel,
right.
You know, they're departing from what God told them to do, and really they cease to become His church. And, you know,
right.
So we need to be careful not only in what we believe as individuals, but what our church believes. And if our church drifts from the Word of God, you know, it's in danger. In fact, elsewhere, Jesus said that if they don't repent, He would take their candlestick out from among the seven
right.
That were mentioned back in chapter 1, referring to these seven churches here. So, Revelation is quite an interesting passage.
But they weren't they weren't saved, those people, then. Right?
Yeah,
can't lose
blotted
yourself,
out of the book of life. Yeah,
right.
They were not saved.
Okay.
Yeah, because
the churches now. I have to say the church that I used to go to is completely different. They used to teach about salvation and this and that. Now they teach hyper Calvinism.
Yeah, and that's a dangerous thing. And unfortunately, I don't have time to get into that
right
now. I just got a couple of minutes left, but. But yeah, let me just, for our listeners that aren't familiar with the terms, Calvinism basically is the idea that everything happens because God determined that that's what it would be, and which means that if you're born and God determined that you would populate heaven, then you'll get saved regardless because that's what you were created to do. And likewise,
right.
If you were created to populate hell, that's what you'll do.
Right.
I even heard some claim that you'll glorify God while suffering in the lake of fire because you're doing what God created you to do. That's nonsense. And then the opposite of that, of course, is the Arminian position that believes that you can lose your salvation. Some are clearer on that than others. And, of course, the true position is a biblical position that's neither Arminian nor Calvinistic. If you
right.
Think about it not as a spectrum, you know, like a line going from one to the other, but rather a triangle with the biblical position that you choose to accept Christ as your Savior.
Right.
And then once you're saved eternally, just like the Bible says, He's given you everlasting life, which by definition cannot end. That's the biblical position. But when you go away from that, you drop down the triangle from the point, the biblical
mm-hmm.
position, down either to the Calvinistic or the Arminian position. In both cases, you're departing from the truth. I've actually
right.
got an article on that on our website livewithpastoral.com. If somebody wants to follow that some more, I've
right.
got an article called The Tale of a Reformed Calvinist, which
wow.
is kind of tongue-in-cheek. And hopefully that'll help somebody out.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Thanks for your call tonight. I appreciate it. And you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And we got a couple minutes left before the break, I believe. But I think we can get to Ben next. Ben is next up on the line. And Ben, welcome to the program tonight.
Hi, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening.
Sorry for running down the show last week.
No, it's all right.
Run without being weary. I think that's a degree of scientific separation from Genesis 1:7.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Where are we at now?
Genesis 1:7.
And verse 7. Let me run back there. Genesis 1 and verse number 7. What were you saying with this?
It's run without being weary with the waters above the firmament. Blood would be oxygen saturated, and you would not get weary.
Well, that may very well be the case, because if during the pre-flood conditions there's a higher oxygen content, but that really doesn't have anything to do with Isaiah, because Isaiah was writing many years after the flood had occurred, and
right.
and the idea of being able to run and not grow weary. I mean, you remember they would send messengers in. Not just in times of battle, but in other times, you didn't have a telephone, you didn't have a telegraph or the internet, send a text message or something like that. you would dispatch a messenger, and sometimes the messengers would go on foot. And in many cultures, they had people who were very very good at running. That's where we've got in the Olympics, the marathon. I forget exactly how far the marathon is, but it was originally patterned on a certain distance for which they would send runners. And to be able to run and not grow weary would have been a considerable, you know, thing, advantage for people. So
yeah, that's what came to mind because of the pre-flood conditions and kind of how the Bible intertwines different things.
Yeah, and of course there would have been prior to the flood, because being closer to the creation, less of the degradation of our DNA and everything, and less of the health problems that we had that developed more and more after the flood, not the least of which was a drastically shortened lifespan. Certainly, people probably, on average, were stronger, smarter, and more adept at things than they were after the flood. But as far as Isaiah there, he would have been talking more in his day, and that was certainly something that could apply to us today. About running and not growing weary.
Absolutely.
Because the Lord's sustaining us.
Yeah, that just came to mind because I was thinking about Kent Hovind. But I'm gonna get off the show. God bless you.
All right.
Have a good weekend.
Hey, thank you very much for calling. God bless.
Bye.
And stay tuned. We got another half hour to go.
You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever. That means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is PastorAl@MapleKnoll.us. You can also visit our website at LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. That's LateNightLive.MapleKnoll.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation. You can give us a call if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And also want to mention, of course, remind you that not only brought to you tonight by my home church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor, but also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And they're located at 4889 Turney Road. They've got calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, and a whole lot more, in addition to some of the best pizza that you can find around. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, or maybe you have a restaurant and you'd like to add pizza to your line, if you're in Ohio, if you're in Florida, or somewhere in between, and you would like to find out about adding a really good line of pizza to your existing restaurant or get into the pizza business yourself, give East Coast Pizza a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might have thought possible. All right. Well, we're going to get back to our program here. And as I said, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, and also remind you that you can find past programs and more information about the program at our website, livewithpastoral.com. You can also link from there to our Facebook page at livewithpastoral.com and like us on Facebook. We try to get a few things on the website as well as on the Facebook page that hopefully be a blessing to you. And let's see, we're going to get right into our callers. We've got Fran, who's been waiting patiently. Fran, welcome to the program tonight. Hi, do we still have Fran with us?
Yes.
Hey, Fran, welcome to the program.
Okay, thank you. The reason I'm calling is this winter we've had the last couple of years.
Yes.
Do you think that's God's judgment on America?
You know, that's a good question. We were talking about it, and let me just touch on a couple things right that real quick with that. We were driving around yesterday in all of this and even today saying, you know, this looks like the winters back in the 70s. And, of course, anybody who was growing up in the upper Midwest in the 70s remembers the Ice Age was coming. We studied that in school. You don't even have to be in the upper Midwest. If you go online and Google the Ice Age in 1970s, Leonard Nimoy even did a special on TV about the coming Ice Age and it may be too late to stop it and all this kind of stuff. Time Magazine, Newsweek had cover pictures of the coming Ice Age, and it looked like it does right now. So this kind of looks like the winters from the 70s. However, last year, I don't know who came up with last year being the hottest year on record, except for they cooked the books, because last year, across much of the world, they set incredible cold weather records, and even the summer was mild last summer, and all that. But anyway, getting back to this, so as far as it goes with just cold and winter and everything like that, it's cold and winter, and it's sort of cyclical. However, having said all that, especially in the Northeast and in the Atlantic Seaboard area, New England, going through there, they have really been walloped with incredible amounts of snow. I mean, we're talking about feet of snow. It just last November, remember, Buffalo, New York, Erie, Pennsylvania, they were having several feet of snow, unusual record amounts of snow and cold, and now Boston and different places in Massachusetts and elsewhere in New England and along the Atlantic Seaboard, you know, they're being socked with incredibly bad weather. And they said this is the first time since like 1950s that they've had two blizzards in the same year in the Boston area in Massachusetts. And I guess the 1950s was the only other time on record since they've been keeping records. And you say, well, wait a minute, is something going on? And we've talked about this before, about how in times when countries have moved against Israel, and even in our own country, when we've done things against the Jewish people and against the nation of Israel, God has allowed storms to hit us. And what is it? As America Has Done to Israel by John McTernan. Excellent book on the subject. And shows how that when President George H.W. Bush, the first president, I think it was, to call for a two-state situation over there, when he did that, he was over in France, I believe, might have been Paris, I think, where he was at, or somewhere over in Europe. And there was a storm out in the south or in the North Atlantic that turned around, contrary to the normal path of these storm systems, went backwards 1,000 miles and struck right dead center on President Bush's home in Kennebunkport, Maine. And it was the storm that the Perfect Storm book and movie was patterned on, and did incredible damage. And there's been other things like that. The largest Nazi rally in the 1930s, 1940s time frame outside of Germany, 1930s, I believe it was, I want to say 36, was held in Long Island, New York. And just a short time after it was held, there was an incredible hurricane that came up almost out of nowhere, moved faster than people could report its presence on the telegraph lines and telephone lines. And it came in and absolutely destroyed the camp there in Long Island where that rally was held, and it proceeded in and devastated much of New England. And so, you know, we've seen things like this in the past, and I don't have time to go into all the details, but we do see that the Bible says it several times in the Old Testament that God would bless the nations that bless Israel and curse the nations that curse Israel. And so you're absolutely right. I mean, we could be seeing something because, unfortunately, whether you voted for the current president or not, the fact of the matter is the current president we have has not been very favorable to Israel. And even our last president, when he forced, he pretty much pressured Israel to give up the Gaza Strip, which then, of course, was taken over by Hamas. But when the last settler was being forcibly removed out of the Gaza Strip area before giving it totally over to the Palestinian control, Muslim control, there was a depression, a tropical depression in the South Atlantic that was forming, and the forecaster said, this doesn't look like it'll amount to much, but if it does, we'll call it Katrina. And so on and on it goes. You can look at things like that. I encourage people, check out McTernan's book, As America Has Done to Israel. And certainly we could go on and on when Russia in the 1800s developed the pogroms against the Jewish people and persecuted them and drove them out of Russia. They found a welcome home here in the United States of America. America opened their arms to them. God blessed America. America went from being a largely agricultural second-class nation in the 1800s to by the mid-1900s being the greatest power on earth. And Russia, which was a very prominent, powerful country in the late 1800s, became a second-rate nation by the middle of the 20th century. And incidentally, the very restrictive things that they put upon the Jews, you could only live certain places, work certain jobs, travel certain times, et cetera, communism put on the Russian people when the communists took control. And so as they did to the Jewish people was done to them. England, greatest power in the 1800s, at the end of the 1800s, it was the greatest superpower in the world, really probably was England, or I should say Great Britain. And they had a chance to help the Jewish homeland get established, and they started and they set aside the land for the Jewish homeland, which included all of Israel today, the Gaza Strip, the West Bank, and Jordan. And then, bowing to pressure, they split off about three quarters of it to create the nation of Jordan. And then they started further subdividing the little bit of land left for the Jewish homeland, and eventually they washed their hands of it. Well, England, Great Britain, went from being the superpower of the 1800s to a second-tier nation in many respects by the middle of the 1900s. And so God does work. Germany itself went from a powerful nation to a divided nation when they, you know, the Holocaust and all that. So, yeah, we could be seeing some evidence of God trying to get our attention to turn back.
Well, they're trying to change it where the, they want to, you know, take over totally and force the U.N. to force them to give up the land to the United Nations also.
And, you know, that's, yeah, they want the U.N. to control Jerusalem, even be an international, divided international city, basically. But, yeah, we need to pray for our country. We need to pray that God would raise up leaders that would respect the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, and have respect for God and His Word. So,
Hey, well, appreciate thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate that call tonight, Fran. Thank you so much for that. And let's see, we've got a number of callers calling in. Let's see, we have it looks like Jamie coming up next. And Jamie, welcome to the program tonight.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome to our program tonight.
Oh, thank you. I had a question.
All right.
Observation.
Okay.
Is it a sin?
Well, that is going to be probably beyond the scope of our program to a certain degree. There's no chapter and verse in the Bible that addresses it. And certainly probably the people who engage in it, probably the Bible, let me put it this way. Jesus said that if a man looks on a woman with lust in his heart, he's guilty of adultery. In other words, he's already in his heart considered himself having sexual relations with that individual. And so that's what God's judged him in according to. For instance, also it extends to murder. If God looks, or I'm sorry, if a man hates his brother and it results in murder, the hatred already, he's already, as far as God's concerned, guilty of murder in his heart. And so certainly any kind of sexual activity outside of marriage, the Bible calls fornication. And so, you
so
know.
So what if I'm, like, married and I'm thinking about my husband if he's fond?
Yeah, I would advise you to talk with your pastor on that one, really, because that's going to be something that you're going to have to search the scriptures, and if you could could sit with your pastor and your husband, and you could search the scriptures, and, you know, let me put it this way. The Bible says that if you have doubt, it's sin. Just simply doubting. If you cannot do something and feel that it's something that God would have you to do, then it's a sin for you. We have a certain amount of liberty in Christ. So, yeah, I would advise you to get with your pastor and spend some time searching the scriptures.
Well, I don't think it's a sin because I think about my husband when I do it, and he's not here.
Well, we're gonna have to leave it at that because it's pretty much a family program, even though we're late night. And I appreciate that. And it is something that's going to come up with people. And again, let me advise you, get with your pastor. You know, I think one spouse and the pastor, but both spouses and the pastor, and get into a Bible study where you can search the scriptures on that. But appreciate the question there tonight. All right. Well, we've got John coming in next. And, John, welcome to the program tonight.
Yeah. Oh, hello, Pastor Al.
Hi,
yeah.
John. Welcome.
Well, yeah. So, you know, I've seen in this chapter before, and it's in First Chronicles about talking about David's mighty men.
Yes.
And, you know, it mentions, you know, what's in it's chapter 11, First Chronicles. And 12 and in verse 11, or I'm sorry, it's 11:11 actually.
Oh, okay. First Chronicles chapter 11, verse 11.
Yes, yeah. And he talks about the three mighty men of David.
Right.
And
we've got starting with Jashubim there.
Right. Now it's interesting because like I read through it, and I'm trying to I think I see the name of the first two, Jashubim, Eleazar.
Yeah.
But then it kind of goes down, and it continues like in verse 15, three of the 30 captains, they went down to the rock to David. You know, I look through, and I can't seem to find the name of the third one, because then, even as I go down to like verse you know, 20, it talks about Abishai, Shai, the brother of Joab. He was the chief of the three. It says he's chief of the three. And it tells about what he did. He lifted up his spear against 300. He slew them, had a name among the three. And it says in verse 21, he was more honorable than the two, for he's their captain. But howbeit, he attained not to the first three. And I'm like, okay, so he's not really one of the three. I mean,
not one of the first three there, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't see the third one's name anywhere.
Well,
looking through the whole chapter, I mean, I even, you know, I'm looking at Benaiah, and it tells about him and what he did in verse 22.
Yeah, let's take a look over in 2 Samuel chapter 23 for a minute. Let's see what this is. There's a list of names here. And this is, I think, corresponding passage in 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 8. It says, these be the names of the mighty men whom David had, the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Ezanite. He lifted up his spear against 800, slew at one time. After him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David. And let's see, verse 11, it says, after him was Shammah, the son of Agi, the Heratite, or Herite. So this seems...
Yeah. Well, and it even talks about, in verse 11, the Word of God's telling us about the piece of ground full of lentils.
Mm-hmm.
Back in First Chronicles, it talks about a field of barley. And I'm not saying saying that's in any way a contradiction.
It could have been both growing in the same area. Yeah.
Right. Well, sure. And also, I almost think I see the answer now. It's Adino the Enzite is one of the first three, then maybe.
Yeah.
Which I didn't see that name.
And that's a lot of times what we do in comparing, you know, some of these passages, because especially 2 Samuel and then into 1 Kings is going to correspond to a lot of what's in 1 Chronicles. And then, of course, roughly 2 Chronicles and 2 Kings are going to correspond. And some of them will add some additional information. It's just like last week we were talking about King Manasseh, who, according to 2 Kings, you know, he went into captivity. And then in 2 Chronicles, you read that while in captivity, he turned to the Lord and was returned back to Jerusalem and became a good king. And so some, you know, they'll give different bits of information, just like in the four Gospels. One Gospel will say one thing, another Gospel will add something to it. Compare Scripture
with
Scripture.
I guess you really got to search the Scriptures to find these things. But, yeah, I was puzzled over that. I'm, like, looking and not seeing. I'm like, it doesn't say the name of the third one.
Yeah.
It tells about some other mighty men, but it's like they did not attain to the first three.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good question when you look at that. And it's things like that that make you get into the Scriptures more, dive into the Scriptures a bit. So.
Yeah, you know, I know you don't want to go too far, as I think I'll say this in the right way, but you know, the previous caller was talking about something, and I remember something in Genesis where it talked about Onan was the son of Er.
And that gets used for that topic, but that's really not what happened there if you read the passage closely.
I know that it displeased God.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, in fact, the problem there, remember there was the under the law, and in fact, this was used against Jesus in Luke chapter 21, I believe it is, or 20, where he's asked the question about a man has a wife and has no children, and then, of course, the Sadducees posed this question. They said that he dies, so his brother takes the woman to wife, and he has no children, and he dies, and the next brother, and there's seven brothers, all of them have him as a wife. You know, whose wife is she in the afterlife? Because the law was basically that if you were in a position to do so, you married your brother's wife, and then your first child would be as if it was your brother's child, and raised up to carry on your brother's name and inheritance thereof. And he refused to do that. That's basically what was going on there. That's why he was condemned in that respect. But,
oh, okay. All right. Yeah. I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah.
I mean, not with to go into, someone can read that if they really want to, but I mean, it's just,
Yeah.
It's I have heard that, I guess, probably told a little differently, but it's
yeah, but if you read it, that's yeah, if you read it, that's what he was condemned for, refusing to raise up a child to his brother. So, hey, got another caller coming in just a few minutes left.
Okay,
but,
well, thanks, Pastor.
I appreciate your call there tonight, and I appreciate our callers. You've been listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. We've got Nancy calling in, and Nancy, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al. I just have a quick question. I know there's somewhere in the Bible it said that Paul, you know, he got beaten for his exercising his faith, mm-hmm. and then he went to heaven for a short time. But how does that reconcile with Hebrews 9:27? It is appointed that a man wants to die and then the judgment. So it seems like he died and went to heaven, but then Hebrews 9:27 says you only die once. So if you do you have an explanation for that?
Yeah, we'll take a look at that. And actually, there's another one you could add into there is John. We were in Revelation in the last half hour, and John was caught up and given visions of heaven, but he didn't die. And I think the key that's in Second Corinthians chapter 12, and Paul,
to find it. Thank you.
Yeah, Paul actually refers to himself here, kind of in the third person,
mm-hmm.
and this is how he states it. Second Corinthians chapter 12, starting verse 1, he says, "It's not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body I cannot tell, or whether out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, for such an one caught up to the third heaven, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter." And he saw about himself there when they believe this is when he was stoned and left for dead outside of Lystra.
Yeah, I remember
they
that,
thought
yeah.
that he died, but they didn't know for sure that he had died. And even Paul here says, you know, from my standpoint, I don't know whether I was dead or not.
But
God gave him revelations. And so we do know, for instance, in the case of John on the Isle of Patmos, he was caught up into heaven, but he didn't die. And so it's possible for God to allow people a glimpse of things happening in heaven without them physically dying. And yeah, because like you said, it's appointed I think it's in chapter
6 of 2 Corinthians,
where he says it's appointed a man wants to die after this judgment. And that also refutes reincarnation, by the way, quite
handily.
Yeah,
I've used that for people that believe in reincarnation.
Yeah, but when you look at this, yeah, he's not saying definitely that he died there.
Oh, okay.
He was left for dead. I think you had mentioned Acts, where that was at. I think you mentioned the verse in Acts. But at any rate,
So he didn't definitely die. See, that's what I thought that he had died just for briefly and went to heaven and back. So I just wanted to have it reconciled.
Yeah. So the important thing that's being communicated in 2 Corinthians 12 is not that he was dead, but that he saw a glimpse into heaven. And it was such a thing that he could have gloried about, but he also was not able to communicate to us the things that he saw. Hey, about out of time here, and I appreciate your call there about that. Hopefully we helped you out there. And again, we're out of time for tonight. Want to thank you for listening. God bless, and join us again next week. Have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenight.maplenoel.us. That's latenight.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 6 p.m. Tune in every week to Late Night with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 on WHKWAM, 1220 The Word, and Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN. Late Night Live is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.